Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, some injury news with the Royals. Two moves announced earlier today. Danny Duffy and Brady Singer placed on the 10-day IL. It's the same flexor strain for Danny Duffy. It's right shoulder fatigue, something that Brady Singer had already been dealing with as well. Both retroactive, I believe the 17th for Duffy, the 18th for Brady Singer. That means Ryan McBroom and Tyler Zuber recalled from AAA Omaha. The Royals, meanwhile, the big league club, 3:10, first pitch this afternoon. That means Vern will have his on-deck show here on 6:10 coming up at 2 o'clock right after us. Mike Minor on the bump, which means we'll see Mike Minor get a few ABs today. See if Mike Minor can get a hit. Get a hit for Mike Minor. Which reliever do you want to if they don't pinch hit, which most likely they would, what's a reliever? Who's a reliever you'd want to see hit today?
Zuber. He's a small person. That's always funny. He looks like a little leaguer. You know he's got to choke up on the bat, the whole thing.
I'll go Brins. I'll go Brins. I can see, like, again, he probably won't even get a chance because they're going
to
pinch
hit. I'm not rooting for guys like Stama. I don't want him to stay healthy.
Yeah, well, he needs, yeah, I think, like, the way I view Stama is, like, the offseason needs to come for him to let him get rest and just healthy and all that. But that's what's up with the big league club. Meanwhile, down in AAA.
Yeah, Bobby Wood Jr. and obviously Nick Prado already underway. They have split. Right now, they both just struck out in their last at bat, so we didn't get to play our celebratory music, unfortunately. But as a result of that, they also got on base the first time. Bobby Wood Jr. with a solid single to center in his first AAA at bat. Nick Prado had walked in his first big at bat, so no batting average.
Sounds about right. Nick Prado, he's someone that's
pretty good. Yeah, it's hard to complain about. Next up on What's Trending. You might have seen this earlier today. It was kind of big news. Apparently, there was another civilian space travel to space. Yeah, Jeff Bezos went to the moon. Or not to the moon. He just went to space. I put to the moon in general
now,
there.
Now, that would be
that
really
would be
impressive.
No, he spent like 10 minutes in space. He was barely there. Our breaks are almost as long as he spent in space occasionally. But Jeff Bezos did go there. That does seem like a big deal, generally speaking, in the head towards, you know, the eventual commercialization of space travel, which, look, I'd love to go to space. Don't get me wrong. Sounds awesome. In honor of that, you might remember a couple of years ago, Ned tried to teach me a little bit about the moon. I got Ned to talk to me for 30 minutes. We got a moon lesson from Ned today, coming up a little after 1 o'clock after Danny Welniak joins us at 1 o'clock. So prepare yourself for a little lesson on, as he put it, American ingenuity.
Blue Origin was the name of, the company Bezos behind that for the space flight today. Last week it was Virgin Galactic and Richard Branson, but it was cool to watch. So we'll talk.
Do you think
some
space.
You
got beat by Virgin Galactic by a week?
These are a bunch of wealthy guys. Talk about ego involved. 100%, he wanted to probably have had his launch before Virgin Galactic's last week. I'm sure. I think there's a third one too, because SpaceX is the next one that's trying. I think they're next up in this list. Next up, though, on What's Trending, NBA Finals. It could all be wrapped up tonight in Milwaukee. Going to be a crazy scene there. That's why the Royals are playing in the afternoon, by the way, if you didn't catch that. Because, of course, Brewers fans, Bucks fans, they want to have a chance to watch both today. And so, Game 6, Suns, Bucks. Bucks have a chance to clinch it tonight. Do we get a Game 7? Selfishly, I want a Game 7. I don't really, at this point, care who wins because, frankly, my bet from Suns and 5 is well done. Your Suns and 6 is over, too, so I don't care what happens at this point in time.
Suns cannot win two games tonight.
They cannot. It's a little difficult to be able to do that, but I can't wait. I mean, look, Giannis has been incredible this whole series. This series has been fascinating.
Very good.
And tonight, Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
I think it ends tonight. Next up on What's Trending, starting running back for the Rams, Cam Akers has torn his Achilles. That, according to Tom Pelissero, now multiple sources across the league. They have said that they're not going to look for a new running back just yet, although I'd say that too if all of a sudden I were in the market for a running back. He was their leading rusher last year. He didn't have quite 700 yards, but he came on kind of late. He seemed like one of those fast risers for the team. We know McVay uses his running back certainly in his system. So a tough loss, obviously, for them in the early going. First real major injury, I feel like, leading into the season for any team in the NFL is where just what a handful of teams today have their quarterbacks and rookies reporting similar to what we have on Friday for the Chiefs.
Unfortunately, every training camp, you know, there's
got to be some of these.
Two or three big stars that suffer a season-ending injury, and then there's others. And so, unfortunately, for Cam Akers and the Rams, a significant one for them. Lastly, on What's Trending, Adam Schefter reporting this morning that Aaron Rodgers declined a Packers extension offer that would have made him the highest paid quarterback. There were some rumblings about this back when everything started, yeah, that, hey, the Packers had offered him a deal, he had turned it down. The fact that it's a deal to make him the highest paid quarterback that he turned down and it still has, it does put plenty of credence towards the idea that he really isn't doing this because he's unhappy that he's not getting paid enough.
Will make him happy, Gutenkunst, leaking the fact that you tried to make him the highest paid quarterback and he just wouldn't take the money. You know what side that came from, right?
Of course. I think, though, this deal that wasn't agreed upon, it doesn't change a whole lot. Like, that is out there to me today. It's trying to make Rodgers look bad. Like, hey, we tried to make you the highest paid quarterback and you still turn it down. Some people think that makes Rodgers look bad. I actually think it makes him look good. It's showing that it's not about the money for him. He has fundamental issues with this general manager and, in some cases, the entire Packers organization. We just got done talking about it like 20 minutes ago.
Packers sucked right back in.
Packers, Aaron Rodgers will be your starting quarterback week one of the season. That's What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. So, much like Scott Kazmir, and I call him Scott Kazmir. I don't even know what that is. I think I'm just calling him the same name as the pitcher for the Rays back in the day.
It's not spelled that way. Kaxmar.
Yeah, Scott Kaxmar. I like Kaxmar. This is Kazmir. Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's a bookie.
He's not going to fact check you on it.
No, he's probably not listening. Although, each day, he has been going through each team. Today's the Raiders. Yesterday was the Chiefs. And he put this stat out there. He's trying to give people some information when they're doing their futures bets on win totals for the NFL. The 2020 Chiefs are the 13th NFL team since 2001 to win at least 80% of their games decided by 1 to 7 points. If you remember, how many times during the season did we go over, oh man, they're only winning by 5 or 6. How concerning is this? Can they continue to do this? And then they ended up winning 80% of their games by 1 to 7 points, including the playoffs. They were 9-0 in such games, the best record of any team in the last 20 years. And so he did some digging on what happens the next year after you had so many close games, and in those close games the next year. So, for example, the Chicago Bears, 2001. They were 8-0 in close games in 2001. They went 13-3. They lost in the NFC divisional game. The next year, they were 4-6 in close games. They also were 4-12 on the season, missed the playoffs. New England, 2003. They were 7-1 in close games. They went 14-2. They won the Super Bowl. In 2004, they were 3-1 in close games. They went 14-2, and they won the Super Bowl. There's a long list of examples in here where the team would have struggles. The Texans, 8-2 in close games. They were 9-7. The next year, they went 4-12. The Dolphins went 10-6 on the season. After going 8-2 in close games, they were 6-10 the next year. There's a whole list of them. We can retweet and put it out there. It's interesting to me.
It's cool.
Like, I like seeing it. Like, you know, this is the kind of stuff I like to have knowledge when I'm doing futures bets and all that. But a lot of these teams, look who the quarterback was, or also be aware of the injuries, right? I mean, you brought up in the last half hour the Panthers in 2017. We know what happened there. Like, Cam Newton's team, they went 11-5. Cam Newton continued to go down, you know, down and down and down. They that wasn't about, oh man, you can't continue to win close games. They weren't as good of a football team.
The Texans, the same. It was the year Deshaun Watson tore his ACL. Who's to say they wouldn't have been better in close games if Deshaun Watson, or better overall, if Deshaun Watson just didn't tear his ACL.
And most of these teams that won a bunch of close games the year before, if you notice, They lost in wild card games, even in that year where they won close games. They lost in wild card rounds. A couple times they lost in divisional rounds. They weren't going to Super Bowls. They weren't going to AFC Championship games. They weren't going to NFC Championship games. They were a good team that year, but they weren't thought of as this power for a couple years. The Patriots were 03, 04, and then I would say the Chiefs, 2020. They were 8-0 in close games last year, 14-2. This year, now I don't know if they're going to go 8-0 in close games. Let's hope that they're not in what are categorized as close games eight different times. I would love for them to of course, you know, blow out teams. I think we all would. They're going to have some close games. They're probably going to lose one or two next year, but it doesn't mean that the team is going to suddenly, going back to the earlier conversation.
They're not going to go 8-0.
No, but that's not normal. But they're not going to go 4-6 suddenly either. You know what I mean? Which is what's happened in some of these other cases. The Chiefs aren't losing five or six games this year anyway.
Also, they weren't in eight close games last year. I know that stat says they were. Did we watch the games, right? They were not in eight close games last year. That's a lie. That's not telling the truth. They were up 30-10 on one of those teams that was called a close game. They were never going to lose that game. They're going to be 1-0 in that game every time.
Yeah, and how they determined it was 1-7. Yeah, they just determined it by 1-7. But you're right.
And that game finished somewhere in the 1-7 range. But it was 30-10. It was a blowout. Like, I get the idea that there's no way to break it down. Like, well, how do we determine if it was close? At what point was the blowout? And teams do come back, right? So sometimes those games are close, even if you had a 20-point win. But at no point was the team, for a big chunk of these, I think it was like six of the eight. In six of eight of those games, there was not a single time that the team who made it close held possession of the ball, only trailing by one score. So they never actually had a chance to win the game. Like, close to me is very relative in this scenario. That's where I just don't think that's why I don't worry.
It applies to a lot of teams. It's just one of those where it does seem as though, because of the quality of team and what they were still able to do last year, it is not as if they won a bunch of close games last year and then you can say, oh, frauds, they lost in the wild card round or something. That happened in some of these other cases. That didn't happen last year. The Chiefs are still considered the Super Bowl favorites for this upcoming year. That's how you can tell in a lot of cases as well. I would love to go back, as he did a deep dive on close games and the record the next year. How many of those teams after they went, for example, Pittsburgh went 13-3 and they were 8-2 in close games.
Correct.
Then they were 6-5-1 in 2018 in close games.
It was also
the Steelers weren't considered to be Super Bowl favorites the next year.
And on top of it was the year Bell sat out and Antonio Brown got in a bunch of trouble.
So a lot of things.
So sure,
in.
I guess if those things happen, you might be less good in close games.
Yeah.
It's just, I just feel like so many comedy of error things would have to happen to go wrong for this stat to even matter. If I were ranking concerns for the Chiefs 1 through 20 of the season, this is like 19. The fact that they were in close games and maybe that would reverse itself.
How many losses, though, that the Chiefs won last year that would turn into losses this year would it take for you to be concerned? Because you're not talking about this team missing the playoffs,
nope.
But a few losses maybe takes you out of home field advantage.
Sure, and I just feel like that's almost accepted reality now because there's only going to be one team that has home field advantage every year, and every year there will be a team on the AFC side and the NFC side that tallies up a bunch of wins. The schedule lines up well, they play their best football, etc. You're not going to be the one seed every year. That was the distinct advantage the Patriots dynasty is going to have over yours. They could have just gotten one of the byes. You can only get one of the byes.
I mean,
the only bye.
I mean,
so it's just,
Buffalo won 13 games last year. They didn't get the one seed. So in this year, with the extra game, is it going to take 14 again to get the number one seed? I would guess so, especially now that you're going to have 17 games.
It's not
games.
Ideal, but I still think Kansas City can go on the road against any of the teams that you would project to be the number one seed in the AFC this year and still win. So for this year, it's not overly concerning. If it happens more consistently over the course of years, I would be more worried, Nick, as you'd pointed out. But for this one year, like if you found out it was going to be Buffalo got the one seed or Baltimore did, are you worried about Kansas City heading there in the AFC title game? I prefer it's at home, but I don't think that Kansas City can't go into that game and win it.
And we'll have already seen these teams play again in the regular season. So at that point, there's a chance, if you told me that the Chiefs beat the Ravens for a fourth straight time and Lamar was 0-4 after a week 2 loss on Sunday Night Football, and then somehow in the playoffs, the Ravens did end up, even losing after losing week 2, ended up with the number one seed, and the Chiefs faced the Ravens in Baltimore in an AFC title game. Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a game, but I would say still, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson had lost 4 straight to Mahomes. So it depends on who that opponent is and what happens in the first 5 weeks of the season. I've said it. If Cleveland somehow pulls off what I would consider a somewhat of a miracle, week one, going into Arrowhead on opening night, on opening afternoon and everything, and beat the Chiefs, yeah, I would have to respect the Browns a little bit differently. I would have to view them differently if they're able to do that. I will be stunned, absolutely stunned, if they come into Arrowhead week one. Baltimore on the road week two? That's the game of the year. That's a game of the year for the Baltimore Ravens. So they're going to be, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a game.
If they win it, it'll be like, congratulations, you won. That's because they've already lost so many games against the Chiefs. It will give them the confidence to think they're actually capable of doing it. But it might just be that we won the one game before we lose two out of three because we had to put everything into this one game. Because everybody in the AFC is still chasing their tail. It's like nobody feels like they can't do it until they actually get past them.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we now know Melvin Ingram is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was a name that always come up throughout the offseason about options for the Chiefs, especially with the Frank Clark news that's out there. So we'll discuss, was that a mistake for Kansas City? And I think one cost-effective option that is still out there. So we'll get to that just a little bit. Thinking of money, though, the numbers are out from the NCAA. We know they had their legal issues this offseason, to say the least. It's why we're sitting here and talking about name, image, and likeness so much more and why the NCAA finally caved on that. They still got bigger problems down the road.
Made it sound like it was their choice.
Yeah. The NCAA reportedly spent $68 million on legal counsel from 2019-2020 in that fiscal year.
For just one year?
$68 million. 10 of its employees made more than $500,000. And then Mark Emmert, it's been well documented, he makes $2.9 million. He actually got a $200,000 raise. Good for him. This past year, he's now at the $2.9 million. All that to, in some cases, just not allow players to collect money off their name, image, and likeness, which you're doing now anyway. And they're still going to be spending millions of dollars in legal fees to prevent it from getting further than that as time goes on. The NCAA, don't let them ever, we've always known this, but this is just more of an example of whenever they preach that, oh, we can't afford to do this, or we can't grant this, it's all been a facade from the very beginning. And the amount of money that the NCAA has, even during when we're talking about through COVID and like, oh, they got to help
not flush $68 million dollars down the drain.
I mean, man, their attorneys are loving it.
Could you imagine this? First, you spend that kind of money and then lose 9-0. You got skunked? That's like having a $250 million payroll in baseball and finishing with 120 losses. What did you use that money for? But this is whole that, like, there's always money, right? We know that. We always knew that. That was never a mystery. They pretended like there wasn't. We don't know that. But they were the ones who forced this issue. So just as a reminder, the NCAA could have taken this loss, taken that $68 million, and fortified their positioning, right? And by fortifying their positioning, I mean create a players' union for the players, allow them to make money off of name, image, likeness, and start working with them like they're a union to work out rates, numbers, flat amount the NCAA is going to get through you, so you can start preparing to batten down the hatches for the stuff you can actually win. And instead, they spent $68 million, forced it into higher levels of courts, and then lost unanimously. Like, this is, how does Emmert keep his job every year?
Because the fact that they have that much money, that's how much money they've been making for under, you know, you can say anybody can run it, but under his leadership, ultimately,
they were able to have $68 million in legal defense funds.
Yeah, they got way, and that's I don't want to say
that's a drop in the bucket.
I mean, I don't know. That number, I don't know if it's necessarily a drop in the bucket, but it's certainly not an issue with them spending. They clearly were well prepared to spend that kind of money and be able to operate and move on and continue to pay at least 10 of their employees $500,000. Nobody was taking pay cuts at the NCAA.
Yeah.
But yeah, that
everyone in the country was, but not Emmert. He
those attorneys, the actual case that you're talking about, the U.S. Supreme Court 9-0 decision there, that case alone was $34 million of that 68. $34 million alone was for that a case that case. They got swept on there.
That's
incredible. Look, other than the NCAA,
did you think you could win this? Because, like, what indication made them think that they could win it? Sorry, because I don't see it. Like, if you're going to get lost 9-0, you had to think you had a couple of those votes in the bag for $34 million, I would hope.
I mean, you got attorneys, and there's arrogance, and you also have attorneys involved that you feel like you've got an argument. I mean, that's like anything, right? There's plenty. Sure. I would just say there's plenty of times where people, you're like, why did you, yeah. You actually thought you would win that case? Just because that stuff happens. I was just going to say, other than the NCAA, I mean, we got the Olympics starting up this weekend.
Probably.
I think so. The opening ceremony on Friday. The IOC FIFA and the NCAA. They all belong together. They're all corrupt, greedy organizations. I mean really, they're all the same, are they? They really are.
Correct.
They're all the same organization. Millions of dollars spent on legal fees, bribes, whatever, in some cases, for some of these organizations.
Stadiums, you bulldoze.
Whatever it may be. It's all the same thing.
Mina Kimes actually had a really good suggestion for the Olympics, because we're getting ready to start, and we know that there's been huge COVID issues, and there's still talks that cancellation's not off the table for the Olympics and everything that goes with it. And her suggestion was, part of the reason that this tied up is exactly what we're talking about, the IOC, is there's no out. We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars. We've got to recoup some of this under some circumstances, and she's simply making it sound like you should just go to a single site again.
We shouldn't have, we, like as the world, should not have an event that requires massive new investment every 4 years that is largely wasted afterwards, because it results in situations like this where you don't have flexibility. Like, they can't move it, for example, to a safer place or have it in a bunch of different places, because there is so much money that went into this event happening in this particular place. And if it doesn't go that way, all that money goes away too.
In terms of being fiscally responsible and all this kind
That's
of stuff.
That's the move, man.
Yeah, and like environmentally responsible. All that makes sense. I just don't think, one, we'll get to that point, because then what's the incentive for it? You said they'd have an island or something, and then somebody would host it still as a country. Why?
Television that talks about your country more than the others?
Why would they?
You're it's not like a tourism
bureau. It's not in your country.
Because you're the ceremonial host.
Yeah, but that's a bunch of crap. That wouldn't mean anything. Like, why would I want it to spend a dime as the United States if we're not actually hosting it in our country, but we're hosting it on a random island that it's just our turn? That's ridiculous.
Just chip in. If you're an Olympic, if you want to have your team in the Olympics.
They already do, by the way.
Yeah,
there already are fees that go
into. So just the same thing. Chip in. We don't have to do this all the time.
Yeah,
we have
fun.
Olympic Island, and we build permanent stadiums that everyone swims in every year. Like, this doesn't seem that crazy to me. I understand the.
This seems like another country problem, quite honestly. Like, the U.S. already has the stadiums. This doesn't seem like my problem.
So it should just. You sound like Dusty talking about a bachelor party. It's just like a bachelor party. We all chip in, do our part.
That was a very American approach of yours. Like, this sounds like a. Like, I'm Joe America. That's a you problem, countries.
For the Olympics,
don't have
we're not
the,
talking
the
about.
Pools.
Yeah, we're not talking about human rights here. We're talking.
No,
We're talking about the Olympics.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Let's have Olympic Island. It'll be dope. And it'll just be like, when you got to go work, they'll be like, well, how are we going to get the people to work there? Same as we get people to work on a cruise.
Coming
you
up-
apply to go work at the Olympics for the month.
Yeah.
To go work on Olympic Island leading up to it. And we just, and I get for like, I don't know, for the Winter Olympics, it might need to be Winter Mountain, whatever we got to do. But we'll figure it out. But I just think, you know, why not do it that way?
Coming up next, the Chiefs have signed a pass rusher. It's someone I brought up earlier in the show. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, a little bit of breaking news on the Chiefs front. We were going to talk about Melvin Ingram signing with the Steelers, so what other options are out there for the Chiefs? Moments ago, Ian Rappaport reporting that free agent pass rusher Alex Okafor, yes, former Chief Alex Okafor, signing back with the Chiefs, a 1-year deal, returning him home to KC. We would imagine that's got to be for near that, vet minimum.
When you say returning him home,
I know
that
I know.
Usually sounds like when we're talking about like Holland or like a great. He's coming back. I almost would have given you Justin Houston probably in bringing him back. They just cut him, right?
Yeah, he was cut this offseason. He played for the Chiefs this past year, had 3 sacks for Kansas City, had 5 the year prior to that. They already had $2 million in dead cap accounted to Alex Okafor. So he was still essentially on their cap. They were paying, you know, as far as cap space, $2 million to Alex Okafor anyway. So now they bring him back. He's a guy, I think he, you know, we talked about this in the 10 o'clock hour, and I said, hey, with Melvin Ingram out of the mix, I would be interested in bringing back Alex Okafor just because it's going to be a low-cost option. We haven't seen the dollar amount, but it's a one-year deal. I mean, this thing must be $1.5 million max, probably less than that, frankly, to have him back. Add him in the rotation. If Frank Clark misses time, Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor, those are two guys now that can give you some spot, you know, rotational starts at that other defensive end spot, that since you didn't go out and spend $4 million on Melvin Ingram. So
I like it better than signing Melvin Ingram for $4 million. Personally,
time will tell on that, but yeah, I mean, financially,
3 sacks for 11 games, 0 for 7 last year. For
well, that's yeah, I mean, Melvin Ingram has been a better player in his career last year. You're picking the last year, and that's fair. That's why Melvin Ingram had to wait till July 20th or 19th to get signed. But Alex Okafor, because of the cost, it makes sense to add someone that's familiar with your scheme. Some would maybe argue as well that they potentially may have even at some point later on in camp would have been interested in bringing him back anyway. I just, the fact that it comes a day after Melvin Ingram's not on the table anymore, it's hard for me not to correlate the two. If Frank Clark misses any time, and that's still up in the air if it's this year or not, Alex Okafor at least gives you some more options to work in there with Taco Charlton.
It's not as ludicrous as you think when I go to compare. Obviously, last year we know that he had 0, so there's no way for him to lose it. But over the last 3 years, they are similar in age, Okafor and Ingram. Ingram has been the more prolific sack guy. He's got 19 more career sacks. There's no doubt about that. But over the last 3 years, they are 14 sacks to 12. Okafor's not trailing by a lot, and he's going to cost half the amount of money. If anything, to me, this is frugal. You're not getting caught up in what the name was, Melvin Ingram. And it would have been easy to get caught up in that name because you watched him play pretty high-level football for a good time, you know, in your own division for multiple times. Instead, they went with what they were comfortable with. They were also comfortable with walking away from Okafor at the end of this year, thinking that they could get by with the pass rush help. So now you're right back to the same scenario. You said, hey, if they don't sign Ingram, does that mean they feel good about Clark? Well, they just signed Okafor, so they probably don't feel that good, Gold. I still think they know that a suspension at some point is probably going to happen for Frank Clark, and this is just a little bit of insurance. I think there's a chance you're going to get more production out of Okafor than you did out of Ingram, but at the very least, you're not going to get significantly less. Like, you're not going to get significantly less production out of Okafor than you were out of Ingram, barring some sort of resurgence to power for Ingram from 4 years or 5 years ago, Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, remember, Okafor got hurt last year as well. He played in 11 games and was able to get you 3 sacks. And so, no, this move makes a lot of sense for Kansas City, especially if they're trying to, on the financial end of things, continue to have some room to maybe roll over some money into next season. We also know there potentially could be a contract extension for Tyrann Mathieu. How does that impact this year's cap? Would they move money around? Do they need to? Or would they go ahead and let him play out with where things are at on this current deal? But this answers a little bit of the question of, all right, well, how do you feel potentially just in general about your defensive line? I refuse to believe it has nothing.
Okay.
I refuse to believe it has nothing to do with Frank Clark. I saw some people on the text line speculating that, well, they may have brought him in anyway.
Why would they have ever cut him?
Maybe so, but he had $2 million. Yeah. And $2 million in dead cap already. So why would you not have done that? What changed? Well, one thing changed. One thing's changed is there's only one thing that changed this offseason. A, you know, Frank Clark now is potentially facing a suspension, and then Melvin Ingram no longer is available, who you did bring in for a visit. I mean, there was, at minimum, there was at one point interest in Melvin Ingram. They brought him in for a visit. You don't just bring in guys for a visit to say hello and bring him out for some barbecue.
Yeah, you're serious.
Like you've got some interest there. And so Alex Okafor, familiar in the locker room. They know who they're getting. They know there's familiarity with Spags, knows what type of player he's getting. He doesn't have to worry about, all right, can he work with our scheme? And this is just a rotational piece. And if a scenario comes to be where Frank Clark somehow avoids suspension this year and it gets kicked back to 2022 because of the court system and all that, well then, okay, Alex Okafor is another nice piece to have because injuries are going to happen anyway, and he's another nice guy to have there with Taco Charlton, who was playing well last year until he got hurt. So overall, the move, whether Frank Clark misses time or not, it does work. It's just, this just gives you that 2 or 3 games that maybe you need out of him.
It doesn't, however, make me feel really any better about their pass rush situation, which I think is below average. They were like an average pass rush team last year. Best case scenario for this year, what? They're top 15? Like, you don't see a top 10 pass rush unless all of a sudden Chris Jones on the edge is a 17 sack guy out of, I mean, not thin air, obviously, because he certainly has played that position and he's an incredible pass rusher from the interior. But barring him taking some Justin Houston-like leap just because he's on the outside, this is an pass rushing team. But there was no solution, by the way, that was in their price point that I thought was easy. I still think Justin Houston was the best available pass rusher. He was going to be the most expensive, more probably than they technically have in cap space, truthfully, or close to the amount they have in cap space. Of the available cheap options, Ogur was fine.
Yes, people were
like,
bringing
this isn't
going
to move the needle. It's fine.
People were bringing up Everson Griffin's name yesterday. He's coming off a significant injury. He might not have been available early on. Well, that doesn't do you any good, because if there is a potential suspension early in the season, my understanding is Everson Griffin wouldn't even be available to start of the season.
You need to be a midseason.
So that doesn't do you any good. So this works. Look, it's not like, as you said, it's not one that suddenly you're like, wow, man, everything's good, but it's a low cost option to potentially give you a game or two of some added help, along with, I still think Taco Charlton is the next man up, and Turk Warden as well. His name comes up in this scenario too. Camp will be interesting to follow when we get out there to St. Gerald starting next week, and just to see how Chris Jones looks on the defensive line.
And who else they line up out there.
Yeah, and what's the rotation? Yeah, what's the rotation look like? We figure what's clear is, all right, Chris Jones on one side, he's also still going to line up on the inside. I know we're going to see him a lot on the outside, but he's still going to line up inside. Imagine the few downs that we see where it's Jaron Reed and Chris Jones at the same time. Think about that. Like, that's where if Frank Clark's on the field and they were able to have Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor on the other side, if one of them were able to have, even for a game or so, if they needed to, but you could still have Chris Jones and Jaron Reed on the inside together at one point in time. Like, that's still, I think, where the Chiefs can get the most out of Chris Jones. I know they moved him to the outside because they feel like that's going to give him the best chance to get pressure this year. But I still think if you told me a scenario where they were able to ever have Jaron Reed and Chris Jones on the inside, I still think that might be the most effective way to do it if you had other guys you trusted on the
outside.
Unfortunately,
when's that going to happen this year? You know? Like, you don't even trust Frank Clark, and he's your best pass rusher on the outside. I don't even trust him right now. Not just for the legal stuff. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
His ability as a pass rusher in the regular season over the last couple of years has left a little to be desired still on that end. So I don't even fully trust that end of the model. So I just don't. That's why they move Chris Jones. Because at this point, they would have moved Chris Jones to the outside at some point before. If they just thought he was their best pass rushing option in other years, they would have gone that way. This is not, it's not something born out of desperation, because that makes it feel a little too strong, in my opinion. But obviously, they made that move with Chris Jones because they don't trust any of their other pass rushers. And Okafor is not a trustworthy pass rusher, nor was Ingram going to be if they decided to go 1 year for $4 million for that deal yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, what? No matter who the option was, they didn't. If they would have signed Ingram yesterday, I would have been happy about it. But they wouldn't have needed 8 sacks from Melvin Ingram. They would need him for 2 games, 4 games, whatever it's going to be.
They got to get what they can get.
And Alex Okafor, there might only be a handful of games where they actually need him to step up in a big way. And again, it's not just going to be on him. It's going to be on Taco Charlton and some other options as well. And I still think the longer this goes on, as we've discussed throughout the day today, there's still a part of me that wonders, is there a chance that the NFL waits for the legal process to play out? We've seen examples where they haven't, and there's been examples where the NFL has said, yeah, we're going to wait for all this to play out. What insight do the Chiefs have on that? I find it hard to believe that the Chiefs haven't had conversation with the NFL to at least get a feel of, not necessarily what the length is.
Frank Clark's attorney, does it work that way? Can you be like, hey, Frank, can we get a little update status? A little quick peek inside the criminal trial? Or, like, what's up?
I mean, the NFL has, we know they have their own investigators. They get access to all kinds of stuff, too. But it's one of the biggest questions heading into camp and the season is, what's the timeline of Frank Clark? The other one is what we've discussed, too, and Tyrann Mathieu. An extension, if an extension comes. And Friday, rookies and quarterbacks do report for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Nick, and over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Of course, the random question of the day is brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. We were talking a little bit about the NCAA. Don't worry. This question isn't directly about that, but instead what they did. About 10 minutes ago, we told you the NCAA blew through $68 million in legal funds to try to fight a case. They eventually lost 9-0. We know 34 million of that. So all I want to know for you today, so 913-576-7610, is What is the single item that you feel like you wasted the most money on? For some of you, it might be a car. For some of you, it might be a wedding. For some of you, it might be something smaller that just more stands out as being like, why did I buy that piece of electronics? Whatever it is. Just give me something that you're like, why did I waste money on that?
Man, there's so many. I mean, some would say gold, you're gambling, you're wasting money.
But sometimes you win.
Sometimes you win.
I just sent you in against the spread thing, against the refereeing crew, against Chris Paul.
Yeah, I saw
Looks
that.
Looks like you should be betting the Bucks tonight based on that.
Based on that, you
gambling
should not.
Gambling advice is not for whatever. Based on that. Illegally. Follow me or listen to any of my gambling advice.
Yeah, basically. There's a couple things in childhood. I mean, I was pretty obsessed with video games for a while growing up. We've talked about that. And so I spent like $140 on this like racing wheel and pedal thing. I used it three times because it was way too hard to steer the damn thing. I spent $150. It was like a legit steering wheel and it had the pedals and you kind of set it up in the living room to where you're like sitting, you're leaning up against the back of the couch on the ground. And you're like, this, it looks cool. And you're like, this is going to be awesome. And then after driving with it for a little while, back then they weren't as good either. So it was way too sensitive. And I think I probably only used the thing. It was from Mad Cats. You know, they made the accessories back in the day.
Kind of, yeah.
I maybe used it four times.
Did you sell it?
I think I sold it. And maybe it got $50 back. But still, that was a waste. That was a bad purchase. That was a bad purchase. That was a really bad purchase.
I did once have, because like we all did, like I owned a lot of DVDs, right? Eventually you're like, I'm not going to just put all these DVDs on a shelf. This is insane. This is like how a crazy person would act. But I remembered someone, like I had seen him like, man, that thing's really cool and it'll hold them. And I live in a small apartment, so I have room for all these shelves. I had that rotating carousel DVD thing from the Sharper Image. Useless. Pile of plastic scrap. Just stupid. Why I ever owned it. It would have been more convenient to put them in a book. It was the dumbest. Oh, God. Such a waste of money.
Do reoccurring purchases?
Yeah. Like someone mentioned the gym.
Well, I would say it doesn't happen a lot, but anytime I go to the strip club, I am immediately
filled with regret.
Immediate regret the next morning. How much money did I spend last night? What did I get out of it?
I mean, it's definitely a money pit. But if you're with buddies on going back to the bachelor party stuff,
it's like an every weekend sort of thing.
Yeah, Nick's going every weekend apparently. Who knew?
Just a regular, the Outpost in Lawrence. Is that the name of that place?
The outhouse.
Catch a little matinee after the show today.
Sorry.
Man, show some respect to a classy joint. It's the outhouse, man. BYOB still, I believe, right?
Oh, God. Right?
I think yeah.
Never been. I feel like the person who told me about that was Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News.
I mean, now
outing him for a moment.
Do a live show out there.
Yeah, like now is not the time to go. Not in your
30s. From the 913 timeshare property, that feels like it's at least in the mix. From the 816, constantly wasting money at Costco. How am I going to eat 18 eggs before they go bad?
Yeah, buying everything in bulk.
Recently wasted money is we were out of town. And you're like, okay, well, you know, I want my kids to eat. We don't have the normal snack options that might be available in case they get hungry. If they don't, so you're like, I'm going to order them this pancake or this sandwich. Just like, they just stared at me like, eat this food! Why? I wasted $100 probably in buying my kid food.
They didn't eat.
Oh, come on, man. Sometimes they just don't eat. Sometimes they're just not hungry. Sometimes it doesn't look the way that they eat it whenever others stop. And then, like, they don't, my kids are pretty good. They're not just like, at home, they might be like, I'm hungry. I want a snack. Like my kid, we went back and forth for like 30 minutes the other day. I'm hungry. Can I have some goldfish? I said, no. I made you spaghetti. Eat your spaghetti. But I don't want the spaghetti. And then what she'll do is she'll put the spaghetti and she'll touch it to her tongue and say, all right, I ate some. Can I have some goldfish now? You're like, that's not how any of this works. The food option is this spaghetti. If you'd like it, cool. If not, you can eat in the morning. It's not a big deal. You're not going to starve. You'll be fine. So that, like the Costco thing, is very relatable in that respect.
Yeah. Other things people would probably, I collect sports cards and memorabilia stuff. There's
What's
probably
the worst one you ever bought?
Well, so some
when
of
you
it.
You thought it was going to be valuable.
Well,
and you're
some,
like,
of it's,
damn.
Some of it's not much different than gambling. Like if you're going to buy a box and you're hoping the big hit's in there or whatever, and that's basically gambling, you know. But overall, I'm
What's
trying
the
to
most
think,
you spent on one where you didn't get a good box break?
Ooh.
Like $100, $200?
Probably $200.
Ugh.
Does your guys' Top Shot phase
No, we made a bunch of money on
that's
that.
That's not bad decisions.
I made like $1,400 on Top
you
Shot.
You guys both turned profits on
that? I turned profit. Yeah, I made like $1,400.
Yeah, I came out pretty good.
You made like over $2,000.
And then I bought the MLB NFTs too. I've probably, between NBA Top Shot and MLB NFTs, I've probably about $4,000 up.
Why'd you guys ever stop then?
Because
then the money started to turn. And we're like, all right, look, we got to back off a little bit. The profit wasn't as good. So we had to start making alternate decisions.
We saw that we were going to start losing money, so we said,
"Or there
said,
was a better
out.
Chance to lose money, and we liked it for the guaranteed profit."
Were you on? Were you part?
No,
of, okay.
No, but I did do the crypto thing, and that would also qualify for this.
Were you on the AMC?
Which one?
Train?
Which one were you trying to ride to the moon that didn't?
Or were
work
you
out?
On the GameStop train?
No, not stock. Oh. Like actual like cryptocurrency.
Oh, crypto. You were so
Ethereum
like,
or something?
Yeah.
Litecoin.
Or yeah, were you, Mr.
You know, you were a Dogecoin guy, weren't you?
No, I'm not a Dogecoin guy at all. Actually, that was my introduction. Made a couple $100 off that, and then I used that money to funnel into real coins. And then about 3 hours later, the entire market crashed. But the beauty of it is,
that sucks.
We're gonna ride it out.
We're gonna ride it out.
We'll make it back.
I've wasted money on so many things in my life.
Oh, there's a long
list.
I feel like
somehow a Wii counts as that for everybody. Like, everyone was entertained with it for a very brief period of time, but the functionality wasn't good enough to justify the ends there. That's just the way it is, man. You waste money in life sometimes.
I mean, as a kid, it was really easy to do. I mean, there were these at Radio Shack they used to sell, and this is going back because Radio Shack's closed now, obviously. Radio Shack had these, they're called Zip Zaps, maybe? These, like, little cars, but you had different customizable parts and waited in line, went to different Radio Shacks to get them as a kid.
I've never even heard of this.
And I spent way too much money. I think they were
How'd
called
you have all this money as a kid, by the way? Did you like
I worked
earn
as,
it?
I worked as a little, I mowed yards and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what your, I had a good paying job.
Zip Zaps. They were miniature radio controlled cars that were sold by Radio Shack.
Are they worth money now?
Actually, I want to say I looked this up at one point and I think they stopped doing it in, 2008, but
maybe it's like Pokemon cards, man. You might want to go check the parents.
Oh, dude, those are thrown away. Those things, they would break. No, you'd run them into the cabinet and they would break in 2 seconds. Yeah, Zip Zap Micro RC Toyota Supra, $1,997, $79. I think that's
way
more.
Get your 5-pack
for
$105 on eBay right now. I don't know which one you're looking at.
The Zip
Zaps? Way too nice.
Or
this is Zip Zaks Micro RC Radio Shack cars.
This is the Fast and Furious
accessories,
one,
cases, and three remotes.
All right, this is the Fast and the Furious one. All right, the original. You know, this is special stuff.
Buy it now, $105. You spent hundreds of dollars.
They weren't $100 back then. I can promise you that. Someone said Zip Zaps were great. I had 20 or more. Yeah, man, those were addicting for a while.
I feel like if you played them, that wasn't a waste of money.
I did, but they were a waste because I feel like it was still a short-lived thing. It was, you know, it wasn't multiple years that I was doing that. Someone says every trip to the casino is a waste. Well,
it depends on the trip.
Most of the time. Look, I'm going to Vegas next month. I'm like,
it's the reason why they build them, those things. It works out itself. God, I've wasted. You ever just like sit back and realize how much money you've wasted in your life?
Someone says that.
Oh my God.
Someone said they spent $2,400 on an NFL National Treasures box of cards, and their best card they got was a Derrick Henry card worth $38.
That was the best card you got?
The worst thing that ever happened was when like the credit card apps or your bank apps started categorizing your money.
Yeah.
See, I like the theory of just never checking. That way I can never be disappointed in myself.
You're like, I spend what? Oh no.
Embarrassing amount on golf during COVID.
Yeah, did you know, he just bought, you know, must be nice. He just bought new golf clubs last week. Dusty bought new golf clubs last week. Just no big deal.
You and I should play more. I should be good at golf.
You should be good at golf. People
say
that.
Why should you be good at golf?
I should just like, I don't know. Because my brother and I, like, we were...
I should be good at golf.
No, I'm not saying I should, like, talent-wise. I'm just
stronger.
Saying I should play more so that I'm good at golf. Like, I look back... Like, golf really is, from, like, an amateur perspective like this, it is a very simple game to be better at. Play. Like, that... It's really that easy. Just play. Like, a lot. And you'll be much better at golf.
I feel like
my
these
brother
conversations...
and I used to go golfing when we were teenagers, like 18 or 19, and we both shoot 100 and look like idiots. I still go shoot 100 and look like an idiot. He shot a 74 the other day. I don't need to shoot a 74. I just want to shoot like 87 consistently.
No, I've always said
I mean very relatively.
Yeah, I've always said I don't need to be good at all. I just need to be able to make it through 18, not hold up the group, And that's it. I mean, honestly, that's the bar for me. I need to be where I can at least not cause everybody to wait an extra 10 minutes. That's it.
That's all anybody cares about, by the way. Okay. Nobody cares if you suck.
Super easy.
Goes as long as you don't hold everyone up.
Goes a foursome, plays a two-man scramble. Don't be worrying about that ball you put in the woods. If you want to do that, we can all
best
play.
Best ball or whatever.
Best
yeah.
ball. Yep. Yeah. Bingo.
If you're the guy with like a 35 handicap and you're spending 5 minutes like fishing around in the edge of the pond for your ball.
Don't do that.
He probably bought a Pro V1 or something. You know how this works. He's like, I got to get that ball back. You're like, just let it go.
That's $3 right there.
Gold's hitting the noodle and it's fine. And it goes where it goes. And we all just live our life.
I don't even have any clubs these days.
I have clubs, but my brother doesn't. So he borrows them anytime he goes. So I always got to go back and get them from him anytime. I'm like, okay, well, now I'm
going to have my old ones.
I mean, this whole segment is about how many things we've wasted money on. I just want to point this out. So we work in radio. I don't have many, I have to pick and choose what I spend my, like, you know, I gamble. I'm going to lose money at times with that. I'm collecting sports cards. Like, there's only so many things
hobbies.
I can choose to lose money at on a regular basis. I don't know if I can add golf into it because then I'm going to get invested in buying clubs and then I'm going to gamble while playing golf.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gamble on the course, you make all that money right back.
Oh, my play will not be making money. That's the problem.
If someone gives you enough strokes,
yeah,
it will.
Some strokes.
Yeah. I mean, we should all go.
You got to give him like three.
I'll use Nick's old clubs. We can all go and see how it goes.
We get the one
listener, or who's the four? Dusty?
Sure, I don't care. Whoever.
I don't want to be on a team.
Get Carrington
out
on the golf course. Love to see C-Dot out there too. Out on the course.
I occasionally hit a good shot. I don't play.
I'll drive the cart and drink. How about that?
Sure. That sounds great.
You're like the girlfriend.
No, and I'll swing occasionally. You know. I haven't swung a golf club in 4 or 5 years, guys. It's ugly.
Not that long for me.
It's ugly.
It's a few months.
I don't golf. I bought clubs once in my life. Some cheap. I bought them off of like Craigslist back 6 or 7 years ago. And that's about it.
Well, you can have Nick's old clubs.
Let's talk turkey during the break.
There you go. That is the random question of the day. We're going to be joined by Dani Welniak coming up, and we'll have our weekly conversation with her. We'll obviously ask her the same random question of the day as well. Do we have a Bobby Witt Jr. update? Do we know how things are going
at this point?
I haven't heard the sounder, so I'm worried that he's been struggling or something.
He's 2 for 3. Infield single to the third base side. Apparently a relatively routine-looking ground.
So still just 2 for 3. Okay.
Well, just 2 for 3. That's no big deal.
Just 2 for 3.
Just a regular old...
How dare he not be perfect?
Honestly, the guy you should have been paying attention to is Daniel Lynch was really good today.
Well, he might be be called up.
Seeing how Brady Singer and, Danny Duffy just hit the IL today. And I don't know if you saw the comments from Mike Matheny. They were, it's too early to say that this is just a shutdown for the year on Brady Singer. I'm like, whoa, are we even entertaining that? And then the second comment was, it sounded even less confident about the possibility about what you might have to do with Danny Duffy. Because it clearly is the flexor strain again. And seeing how that shut him down for a month or more
before.
Maybe they
shut Duffy down for the season.
Duffy might be done for the year.
So he can stay healthy for post, for offseason, for
future contract or somebody else.
Future contracts with another team.
Whether this team or another team. That is like really in the cards for Duffy. I don't think they're there yet, but that's really in the cards for Duffy. But they're not giving a definitive timeline on how long they're shutting down Singer. To me, it makes sense. Just shut him down for a week or two.
I'd shut him down the rest of the year.
I wouldn't. I would just do Singer for a week or two, reevaluate where kind of things are, and then make the decision about how his arm's responding. Because I still want to build up his innings more than 86. Like, I'm trying to get him to 110, 120. I'm trying to protect long-term interest, too. I am, but I got to try to get him to more than that, I think.
It's hard to imagine Kowar and Lynch aren't called up here pretty quick. Both of them. Not both at the same time, but within the next... You told me in the next 2.5 weeks, I would actually be surprised if both aren't back up.
They currently have 3 members in the rotation you're sure of. Carlos Hernandez... Brad Keller and Mike Minor. Beyond that, you would pretty much assume Chris Bubich is now going to get some starts. That's more than fair to assume. He's been good coming out of the bullpen. So then really you're down to the one open spot, but you're getting to the point now that guys are going so few innings, you're going to need a backup starter anyway. Kowar and Lynch are definitely both coming up here pretty soon, I would think. And after Daniel Lynch looking really good today, that's going to be all the confidence they need to try to start him again this weekend if needed. Because again, they only have 3, maybe 4, if you include that, but it's getting... Thin in the starting rotation, and that's for sure.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Dani Welniak. We'll get her thoughts on the Chiefs bringing back Alex Okafor and also the injury news with the Royals.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.